This is Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gartner, and on the program, we're going to be talking about something that is really such a neat thing. It's going to be the B-Day Festival that's going to be coming up in May. But first, we're going to talk about exactly what the River Raisin Beekeepers Club is all about. And I'm happy to have on the program Jenna Tucker. Jenna, it's so good to have you with us again.
Thank you for having us again.
Don Warner as well. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you for having us.
Let's start from the very beginning. I know we talked about it. This has been a year ago, but let's refresh everybody's mind exactly what the River Raisin Beekeepers Club is all about. You want to start things off, Don?
Yeah, it's all about helping people become sustainable beekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and education. And that's what we're here for. We have always a bunch of new people come every year. And we try to steer them in the right direction and try to mentor them. And hopefully we can retain some beekeepers. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but...
But what I was going to ask you, too, as a follow-up. You know, how difficult or easy is it to get into beekeeping?
It's just understanding how the bee works. There's so many things that's so different than what... You know, insects are just, you know, a game of their own anyway,
but
there's just a lot of things that doesn't travel true to what you would for raising a litter of puppies or something.
That's right, yeah.
So, yeah, and it's being able to deal with it and sticking with it, and if we can get you to stick with it for 2 years, we'll probably have you hooked pretty good.
Jenna, do you see the popularity of this growing?
I certainly do. We have more and more new beekeepers, not just in our club, but across the globe. Every year, people are really interested in helping the environment, keeping the bees safe. You know, it does matter a lot because, of course, the bees pollinate our food, and without that, what do you have? And so more and more people are getting active in it, and it is one of those things that's very easy to get into, but that doesn't mean it's easy to be successful at it.
Yeah.
You do need the education. You do need people experienced helping you out, working with you to make sure that you are successful.
Because you really do have to know what you're doing, right, Janet?
You do have to know what you're doing. You have to understand what's going on in the hive so that you can, you know, recognize any kind of issues that may be coming up. Or you can make sure that the bees are being fed the way they should be, they're gathering what they should, and that kind of thing. So it's more than just setting up a hive and walking away.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
You can't just let Mother Nature do it anymore. You're putting them in an artificial home.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure they're taken care of. So
how does that work, Don? If someone is interested in doing beekeeping, you know, do they just set up a hive and hopefully that the bees will come, or how does that work?
Well, we've had people try that before, and good luck with that. But every year for the last, I guess, 10, 11 years now, I've been teaching a beekeeping class. Jen and I have been. And this year we had a full load of people. So a lot of people that come ahead of time and learn the lingo for one thing, because everything's got a name and... Not one of them do flappy things over there, you know. And that makes it hard to understand what you're trying to tell me.
That's right, yeah.
So once you learn the lingo and we give you 8 weeks of class training, it takes a lot of the rough edges off. And then the next thing I'll do is I will attempt to put every one of those people in the class in a beehive for their first time.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's what, a week and a half now we're going to try to do that. So I don't know how many will show up, but I got a feeling there'll be a bunch of them.
So when are your classes going to be held then?
Second Sunday of every month at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So.
And it's held at where?
This one is actually going to be in the bee yard. This is our bee club meetings. And this one will actually be in a bee yard. And there's maybe 30 hives in the yard at this time.
So we'll
be able to divide the groups up so that each person can actually experience what it's like to get into a new hive.
Okay.
We suggest that they go through some kind of class, whether it's ours or another one, to get acquainted to what the hive is all about, what the bees do, the different diseases and pests that they may encounter. That gives them a little bit of knowledge before they go into the hives. And that actually helps them to be more successful because they're not so surprised by what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
We try to go pretty in-depth on what's going on in the hives, even though we do the classes in winter, so they can't actually see it till spring.
Right.
But at least it gives them a little bit of knowledge of what they should be looking for, what kind of things they need, and what all is involved in being a beekeeper.
Right.
Then putting them in the hive is always a very big surprise for them the first time.
I'm sure.
It's one thing to see it up in a picture. It's another thing to see it in your face.
That's right. And especially along with the protective gear, I would imagine, too, right,
Tom? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell everybody they should wear gear. Sometimes I don't, especially if I want to show off a little bit.
You, Don? No.
Yeah. I worked bees here about 3.5 weeks ago and dressed in a short sleeve shirt just the way I am for 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
So, and I didn't get stung once. But
well, they know you're a kind soul, yeah, say Don.
Yeah. But I don't recommend that for people, but I've done it before.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So when they go to, can they go to get more information? Can they go and look you up online?
Yes. We have a website for the River Raising Beekeepers Club. We also have a Facebook page. So they can go in there, check out what's going on. We update that Facebook page constantly. So whenever any new meetings are going on or new information is out there, I try to get it on that Facebook page so everybody knows what's going on. A lot of our other beekeepers that are a part of the club will also post interesting articles and stuff like that on the Facebook page.
So that's the River Raisin Beekeepers Club .com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then on Facebook, just, you know,
River Raisin Beekeepers Club.
Okay.
Facebook. Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. You know, when they first start off, though, in having the beehive, can they expect to garner a lot of honey the first time? Or not?
The first year it's really got to be a good year to get any honey the first year.
Okay.
You know, especially if you're buying packaged bees, they won't make it the first year. Nuke's got a little better shot at it, but it's still a lot to get done the first year from 5,000 bees to get it to 40 to 50,000 bees and actually make a bunch of honey.
Ah, okay.
Takes too long to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially for the new person, they don't have any drawn foundation to put them on. So it's the queen can't do anything till we get the house built for her, you know. And mm-hmm. then it's to the next frame doing the same thing in the next. So sometimes it's a little slow getting going. Most of the time it's slow getting going.
Yeah.
So.
But that's, you know, normally with a lot of things when you get started off, it's usually getting through that first year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't be disappointed.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really interested to hang in there, right? Well, that's what you refer to as getting through at least the first couple of years, right?
Yes, yes. Because we find that someone who has been through 2 years and been successful, at least a partially successful, is more likely to stick with it. Especially somebody that's got a mentor to help them get through those first couple of years.
Oh, sure.
Because, I mean, you can look at all the pictures you want and watch all the Facebook and YouTube videos out there. It's not the same when you go to get into that hive the first time. I can tell you from personal experience.
Yeah.
You know, I studied, went through classes, and then I got in there, and it was like, wow, what did I do?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And getting through those first couple of years, there's always things that are going to come up that they don't teach in a class.
Well, sure.
Mother Nature's going to put in twists and turns on you. And, you know, if you've got a mentor, somebody you can bounce questions off of, it helps a lot to get through those first couple of years.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So. We try to pair everybody up with somebody if we can. And if they can't, I pick up the slack. And I've had people I've mentored for 4 years. Mm-hmm. I still have people call me, hey, can we go to your bee yard? When can we go? And I said, I'm retired, so you let me know when you can go, we'll go.
Yeah. But that's kind of nice to be able to have that, as you mentioned, the mentorship to get them through. Because like you said, Janet, you know, Mother Nature does not always do things as planned.
No.
As what we've been finding out with this past winter season and into spring, it's like, okay, this is not a typical winter or spring so far. But it's nice to have that mentorship available.
It's very valuable. It's especially nowadays because for a while there was harder to get people into beekeeping and harder to keep them into beekeeping. But especially with the youngsters nowadays, you know, they would rather sit in front of a computer all day long than get out and go to the bee yard. So, and we do have a youth program, and I see we've got two youngsters that's wanting to get signed up this year.
So, great.
And we really go out of our way to help those youngsters.
Absolutely. Yeah. So bring up the next generation, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And people don't realize how bad we need that next generation in the beekeeping world.
That's right. Yeah.
Because I would say over the last 10, 11 years, the classes I've taught, I would say the average age of the whole class is 50 plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that would make sense, but, you know, because you still need that younger generation to help keep it going.
Somebody's got to take care of that. I mean, how long is those 50-year-old people going to last?
That's right, yeah.
And we had people, I've had several of them in their 70s.
Oh, sure.
So.
But still, it says, hey, it's not too late to be able to do that. But still, it's
never too late.
Yeah.
Even though there are people out there that's like, you know, I can't physically do this. It's like, well, you know what? There's ways to work around that problem. So anybody can do it. Sometimes it just takes a little extra equipment.
There you go.
So, but yeah, it's a wonderful hobby. It can be actually a wonderful career.
Yeah.
A wonderful business.
Yeah.
Just depends on how far that person wants to go.
Well, let's talk about a special day that's going to be coming up in May, on May 18th, the Bee Day Festival. And this is going to be another great festival that's going to be coming up, Janet.
Yes. We are very excited. We have grown over the past 2 years, and this year it's looking like it's going to be even bigger and better. So I'm really looking forward to this one.
So day, time, and location?
It'll be May 18th. It starts at 10, goes till 4 at St. John's Lutheran Church right here on M52. We will have, I think we're up to like 22 different craft vendors.
Nice.
We have 4 different food trucks that'll be out there.
Nice.
A couple of different bee clubs. We'll have our silent auction going on. Honey tasting, which everybody always loves.
Yes.
And we'll have games and stuff, activities for the kids, some bee-related, pollinator-related crafts and that kind of thing.
Great way to be able to find out more about beekeeping, but also, you know, trying to just looking and seeing what's available out there too, Don.
Yes, and it's another way for us to help educate people.
Sure.
And that's what one of the main things about the Bee Club when it started was education. We need to educate those people that aren't beekeepers to show them how not to kill our bees.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pesticides out there for everything.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So, you know, just for instance, people that don't want those dandelions in their yard and out there spraying them while they're blooming, you're killing my bees.
Yeah.
So
that's, I mean, I'm not really going after those dandelions when I see them in my yard because I know the bees are going to be wanting to go and, you know, help pollinate them, and it's good for the bees.
Well, not only that, but part of the festival is also teaching the public how they can help the bees. Not just don't spray, but planting plants at that'll bloom at different times of the season.
Oh,
so
sure.
The pollinators always have something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Setting up watering stations so that because bees got to drink just like everybody else. So, and those are the types of things that through the Bee Festival we're trying to help inform the public on.
That's going to be May 18th, 10 to 4 at St. John's Church on North Adrian Highway. That's going to be another great day coming up. And we're going to talk more about it in a future program on Community Conversation as well. So we're out of time for this time around. Boy, it goes fast. So Jen and Tucker, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having us back.
Don Warner, thank you so much as well, my friend.
Thank you.
And this has been Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gardner. We'll talk again soon.